In this episode of Bear Podcast, the Hulk is not dead.
Nard's New Orleans trip.
Ray's San Francisco trip.
Robert De Niro's father is gay.
And Google's self-driving cars.
All these and more coming up next. Bear Podcast, 520.
Bears.
He's texting to bump into Big Hairy Man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to get something to scrub there and fix it for you.
Can I do a podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is funny, cute,
lasts two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
Episode 520, and it's May 28th, Wednesday.
Just seems like 420 was this weekend.
Yeah, I know. 420. It's 100 episodes ago. Oh my God. 120 episodes ago was 420. And I think it was around the date of April 20th, too.
Yeah, it was close.
So it was close to 420. It's been, I can't remember. It's been, you know, it's been
almost
a long time.
2 years ago.
Almost years ago. So. Yes, and we have a message.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
We would like to take the time to thank all the men and women of the armed services who have laid down their lives so we can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today. Happy Memorial Day for those that got to enjoy it and the ones that had to work, sorry. But for the whole purpose of it was to remember the ones that gave their lives for the country. So I wanted to make sure we said that, even though we're a couple days late.
Yes.
So, but thank you to the families that are surviving and living with it.
Yeah. It's a big price to pay for freedom.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's do some weekend updates. Ray, you're pretty loaded with the activities last week. You were in San Francisco for a whole week, right?
I was in San Francisco. Yeah, almost. I flew out Thursday.
Oh, I thought you went Wednesday or Tuesday.
No, I flew out Wednesday. But okay. No, I flew out Thursday. Robbie flew out Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
I flew out the next day. Then I flew back in Memorial Day, and he flew back in last night.
Oh, he was there longer.
Longer, okay. Yeah. Well, he had more vacation time.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
So, yes, we went out there to see his son, Scotty, graduate from college.
Oh, nice.
So, congratulations, Scotty. And we also made a good little vacation of it. So, met up with some friends. Our friends Tom and Dave have this beautiful house that sits right on the street of Dolores Park. Mm-hmm. So from their window in the front of their house, you look out into the park. I mean, it's right across the street. It's gorgeous.
Okay.
I'm sure the house is estimated to be valued at several million dollars.
By now, yeah.
Okay. By now, because they own all three condos in it. Because originally it was one house,
mm-hmm.
and then they got divided up into three condos.
Uh-huh.
And over the years, they bought all three condos, so they own the entire building.
Oh, wow.
So, plus they have a nice garden area in the back, but it's a very beautiful house. So thank you guys for letting us stay there with you. Stay there. Well, they took off to Sonoma Valley and said, hey, have fun. We'll see y'all.
Oh, okay. He lent that. You were house sitting for them.
Kind of house sitting for them.
Oh, yeah, that's so nice.
So, and if y'all don't know anything about San Francisco, Dolores Park, if y'all watched the show, the latest show it was on is Looking.
Oh, okay.
If you watch that, there's a couple scenes within the park, like where the guy on the bicycle comes up to Tom and says, hey, are you free later? My roommates are going to be gone. Want to hook up? That happens in Dolores Park. And they're showing the camera. You would be the way they were looking at the park is the way the house looks across the park.
Mm.
So from the top end towards the bottom end, and the house is up here on the top end. So
you were there looking. I heard a lot about Looking before. I guess you should watch it. Yeah, so you were there.
It's very white.
It's very white.
Apparently there are no black people in San Francisco on that show.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. So, I'm sure there are Asians.
There are Hispanics and whites, and that's all you saw.
Oh, really?
I don't think you even saw any Asians. I can't remember. It's been a while since I watched it. So anyway,
San Francisco, what are the highlights of your trip?
The highlights of the trip, Friday we took a trip up to Napa Valley with Miss Ann. Oh, speak of the devil, Miss Ann, who is a good friend of ours, mm-hmm. Robbie's and mine. I met her through Robbie. So we took her out. Her birthday was actually Thursday. She turned 79 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So Friday we took her up to Napa Valley. We stopped at the V. Satuti Wineries. I might be saying that wrong. Which, if you're in Napa Valley and you want a quick picnic, I suggest going there because you can go into the winery and buy cheeses and bread and salami and all this stuff and a bottle of wine and go sit outside. They have this beautiful picnic area outside, and you can sit there, and that's what we did. We sat there and enjoyed a loaf of bread, cheese, two or three Jesus. Different types of cheeses, prosciutto.
And wine.
And a bottle of wine.
Oh, that
so,
is heaven.
So it was good. So that was a good place to go because they actually sell cheese there, which was actually cheaper than buying it in the store because they're getting it local. It's being made local there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they get buy it in bulk, so they get a good deal of it. So that afternoon we went over to, Petaluma's in Sonoma Valley, I guess. I might be wrong, but it's about 45 minutes away
from
Napa.
You've been to Petaluma? There's a lot of podcasts being recorded there. Tech podcasts in Petaluma.
Well, Petaluma's like a suburb of San Francisco.
Yeah, it is.
And it's actually a cute little town. While we were there, we went to the Lagunas Tap Room and Beer Sanctuary, which is an independent beer manufacturer. And they got their plant there on site. Plus, they have a brew house.
Okay.
And you can go there, and they have this big outdoor arena-type place. Or they have bands in playing, and you can go there and sit and order food and drink beer all night long. And we had a really good time, caught up with a bunch of Robbie's friends there. Saturday, we had graduation.
Oh, which
was the whole reason we were there. So here's the deal about San Francisco, from my point of view. You're either sweating your ass off or you're freezing it off.
Oh.
And that can happen within 10 minutes of each other.
Oh, wow. You had to wear a tuxedo?
No. I just wore slacks and a button-down shirt. And I didn't even take my jacket with me because when we left the house, it was sunshiny and up in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But the 15-minute Muni ride from the house over to San Francisco State, by the time you got to South San Francisco, it was cloudy and overcast and cold and in the low 60s.
Yeah.
And we were out in a football stadium or an athletic field, and the breeze was coming through there, so we were freezing our butts off.
So South San Francisco, you went south. I've been
so,
there
but it just like it depends on where you're in the city and where the fog's rolling in and what's going on.
Yeah.
So
always be ready with a jacket.
Yeah. Yep. And then let's see, what else was there? Oh, later on that afternoon, we went to El Rio for Mango, which is a lesbian party.
Oh my God.
Some of Robbie's friends were that, and they said it was a dance party, and they said, come join us. And it's in this bar, and the bar reminds me a lot of Mary's, just the way it's kind of set up, and it's got this little back area.
Yeah, It's like Mary's before.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool, but it's packed with lesbians, wall-to-wall lesbians. There were some other gay guys and straight guys there, too, but mostly lesbians. They're some of the butchest lesbians I've ever seen in my life there.
I heard you were molested.
I was being molested by lesbians because they were rubbing all up on me. I mean, they were Robbie's friends, but they were rubbing up on me, but they were drunk and just yada, yada, yada. I sent them a picture of the little Asian guy that was with us for Mikey because he looked like a Mikey type of guy.
Really?
And I thought he was like kind of cute at first, but then he started running his mouth and I was like, eh.
Oh, okay.
So, but he's still a nice guy, but I was just like, oh, Lord, everybody's drunk.
So they were, the girls were touching you all over during dancing.
Well, they were
dancing
and they were like dirty dancing with me and stuff.
They were dirty dancing.
But well, there's a very interesting, very mixed lesbian crowd. You went from lipstick lesbian to San Quentin Bulldyke in the same, you know, within two or three people around you. So it's pretty interesting. Okay. Pretty interesting. And that night, if you're in San Francisco, try Cha 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 Diner.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Mexican place that does tapas and some other things, but it was very good. They have great pictures of margaritas and mimosas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not mimosas.
Bellinis.
No. What's the stuff with the mint in it?
With the mint? Oh, mint juleps?
No.
Mint. Mint maybe drinks.
It is, no. Maybe it is.
Was it with gin or
I can't remember what the hell it's called now. It might be mimosas. No, mimosas. It's not mimosas.
Mimosa would be champagne and orange juice.
No, it wasn't mimosas. What the hell was it?
Was it sweet?
Yes, it's kind of sweet. It's rum, and they actually take the mint leaves and grind them up, put them in the drink.
And there's bits of the leaves on the glass?
Yeah.
Oh, mint juleps.
That's not mint julep.
It's not mint julep.
Mint julep's made with whiskey. This is not made with whiskey.
Oh, okay. I was thinking.
So anyway.
I only had mint julep once.
They had some great food and stuff.
Nice.
Okay. Finally, got to go to San Francisco Eagle that night.
Okay. So how do you find the Eagle?
It was nice. It I was expecting more. I was expecting it to be bigger than it was, but it really wasn't that big. What made it seem so big is because you walked out of the place into the outdoor patio.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking it was going to be a little bit bigger from the way it looked on the corner, but most of it was the outdoor patio. So
I remember, I think it was the Eagle. The last time I was there was when the Future Villain Band, it's a kind of a bear band,
yeah,
played there before, and I took videos of them before. Yeah. And
that's pretty
they have a stage there. That's pretty,
yeah, they have a stage. It's pretty interesting. Apparently, there used to be this big tree in the center of the outside. They had to cut it down for some reason. So it's just open to the sky now. I mean, you can look up. Because apparently the big tree used to cover the billboard signs and, you know, put a nice canopy over it during the day. Had to cut it down and it's all gone now. So,
oh, wow. That's
so that kind of sucks.
I'm sure it was.
But there was some nice rope bondage demo stuff going on. So it was
really?
Cool.
Yeah. Did you guys join?
No, we just watched.
You just watched?
So. And then,
did you do golf claps?
No.
No.
So. Okay. And then Sunday we spent in Dolores Park out there hanging out. We got some more cheese. All we did was cheese and wine.
Cheese and wine.
I won't be so constipated for weeks now. and just had some stuff and sat out there in front. Some people come to meet us and hung out with us in the park, and where I got burned to a crisp.
You didn't put sunblock.
I forgot to put sunblock on, but we were under a shade tree, and you know, and I was hungover from the night before, and I just wasn't paying attention. So, but the really fun thing was that night we went to Grease Sing Along.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was awesome. It was at the Castro Theater. It'd have been interesting to see Frost Sing Along because I haven't seen that movie.
Frost?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But that night just happened to be Grease Sing Along. It was a good time. Me and Robbie had a really good time with that. But if you ever get to do a Grease Sing Along, it's hilarious because you get to go in, and when they do the songs, they put them up so you can sing along with them, and you can stand up, do the hand jive, and all this other stuff. And
the hand jobs, okay.
Yeah, it was
pretty cool. Hand jobs so, in Grease Lightning.
And it was a good crowd mixture between straights, kids, adults, gays, lesbians. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty fun. So.
Okay.
And that was my extent of my trip, except for trying to get back to Houston yesterday in the storm.
Wasn't there? There's a scene in Greece where, in the dance contest, did they show butts? Did they show butts?
Yes.
They show butts there too. Yeah. Guy butts.
Yeah. Well, the guys moving the camera. Yeah.
They did. Were they hairy butts? No.
No, I think they were smooth butts.
They were all smooth. Yeah. Oh, that's, okay.
So, yeah, because the T-birds is the one that show their butts.
Yeah, it was the T-birds. Yeah.
That's
right. Wow. Interesting. I want to go to San Francisco now. Actually, I want to go to Napa Valley one of these days. That's one of my plans with Mike in the future. We don't know yet when. If you watch Sideways, you know Sideways. I don't know if you may have somebody mentioned to you Sideways. Maybe you go to the wine country and just taste out, check out wine and everything, and maybe you can buy.
Well, there's a wine club you can join there because Robbie was a member of it. And you paid so much, and then it gave you passes to go to certain wineries, and you can buy, and you don't have to pay the tap room fee or whatever, the wine tasting fee or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So you can go drink a bunch of wines, buy stuff at a discount and stuff like that. So, but like it was for like three of the major wineries, and then some of the smaller wineries big jumped in on it too, and so there's a number of places you could go. So, the main thing about San Francisco, besides the cold and the sweat, I think everybody out there smokes pot nonstop.
Is it legal there? I don't remember. I don't think so.
No, it's not legal. But I don't think there was a place I went this weekend that walking down the street, the park was packed with it. Oh, that's something else about the park. If you're in the park, at Dolores Park, there's the truffle guy.
The truffle guy? Why is he called the truffle guy?
Well, because he makes these little truffles, pot truffles.
Pot truffles. So sweet and they're getting you high.
And then there is the coconut guy.
Same
thing. Coconut guy is a white guy with dreads that comes out and he has these coconuts and he'll sit right there in front of you and cut the top out of the coconut, put a straw in it and let you drink some, and then he'll pour some rum into it for $15.
Oh, wow.
So, both of them are doing very brisk business on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I bet.
Because they work the park all day long.
Coconut. Like, so he's got a coconut, chops the top off and gives you a straw and put rum in it.
Yeah.
Okay. This time sounds tasty.
So look for the truffles guy and the coconut guy.
Wow.
So, if you're in Dolores Park.
I want to go to Dolores Park now. I haven't been there.
So what about you? You went to New Orleans this weekend.
Yes, I was in New Orleans Thursday. Yeah, I was just there, and we didn't get to watch any movies or anything, but a couple of friends of ours, Mark and Kevin, came over, and we hung out. We ate at Parkway Inn. You've been to Parkway
mm-hmm.
Bakery. We had. Remember, you ate this large roast beef po' boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had po' boys there, but I want to try something different because when I'm there, I always eat the roast beef po' boy. Uh-huh. It's pretty good, but then I want to mix them up. So I want to try the shrimp po' boy there. It's pretty good too. So
scrimps.
The scrimp. I tried the scrimp ones. And yeah, it's pretty well known. If you guys are in New Orleans, check out the Parkway Bakery and Tavern. It's a po' boy place. They have lines. Well, tolerable lines.
Okay? Yeah.
That you don't have to wait too long. And then on a Saturday, we went to it's a garden place. It's a big mansion. It's a mansion in the middle of a garden. And it was owned by the Stearns. That's all I remember, the Stearns family. And it's called Longview. And it's spelled really weird. Longview, L. It's like tongue, how you spell tongue, yeah. But with an L. And view would be V-U-E. So Longview. So we went there. It's almost like Downton Abbey. You know, you have... It has a potential to have servants,
yeah.
People, gardeners, and maids. Does the and family butlers. Still live there? No. They already. I think it's already donated to.
Okay, the city. So
it's a museum now. It's like it's a yeah.
It's so it's like Bayou Bend here.
Yeah, pretty much. And then each room, when you open the door, goes to a part of a garden. It's always in front of a. Very nice. You might see some pictures here. Garden type and fountains and everything. It's yeah. Really, really nice. And it's about three stories. The first story, it's got the study. It's got some private rooms and stuff like that. And then you go to the second floor where they usually entertain their guests. They encourage butlers or servants to or ushers to bring all visitors to the second floor, and that's where they mingle. And they're And then, of course, the windows, they're open and mm-hmm. open. And the dining table, everything are all antiques, of course. Yeah. Sconces. Yeah, it's really gay, but yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gay nice. What can I say? Okay, so after that, we Mike and I had dates. It's dinner dates for me and Mike for two nights.
Okay.
So, yeah, we ate at Pêche over here.
What's Pêche?
Pêche, in French, I believe it means fish. Did we take you before to Cochon? Cochon means pig. So they serve
I don't think
pig.
So.
No, you haven't. Next time we go to New Orleans, we should go there at Cochon. So from the owner of Cochon, which is pig, is Pêche, which is fish. So we ate there. We had fish and everything. And it's really good. It's really good. They had fish sticks. So that means we're gay fish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, so we ate there. That was good. Saturday. Sunday, we went to another restaurant. It's called Domenica. It's by one of John Besh's restaurants. If you're into Food Network stuff and everything, you may have heard about John Besh. Mike is my guide to all these restaurants. I only rely on him when it comes to restaurants like this. So we ate there, and we had squid ink pasta. So black noodles, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then the best part there, one of the best parts of what we ate there was the, it's pizza, but it's got pork shoulder, and bacon, and it's bacon.
So it's double really oink.
It's double oink. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Nice.
And do you eat Brussels sprouts?
No,
you don't. But you would eat it this time because it's mixed with vinegar. It's chopped up a bit and mixed with vinegar. And chili sauce, or hot chili sauce, chili sauce, and everything. So it, I think because of the vinegar, it loses that bitter taste that that people don't like about Brussels sprouts. And it's really delicious. Oh my God, it's really good. And we've been eating a lot. That's all we did there. And then I drove back. I drove back to Houston. It was pretty. It was raining. It was raining here in Houston.
Yeah, there was supposed to be no storms here, and then 20% chance of rain, and then it flooded in Houston Monday.
I know it flooded. So it was raining so hard, and then I got my reminders telling me that there's a pool party at Guy and Carl's. So Carl, happy birthday! So Guy and Carl's, they had a party, and then so I drove there, and then it was raining so hard. People were still at the pool. I don't feel comfortable. While it's raining and you're in the pool, it's especially if it's light. There's lightning.
Well, there's lightning now, but rain usually doesn't bother me. So.
Yeah, but then later on, there's no more lightning. It died down, and then we went to the pool. It rained some more, but there was no more lightning.
Yeah.
So it was good. Yeah, I haven't gone swimming for a long time. I haven't gone swimming while it's raining. So it was good. I mean, lots of people there. How many? About 20 people, maybe. Not too many. Because of the rain.
Right,
because
of
the rain. But it was fun. So happy birthday to Carl. And thank you for your party again. And it's their fourth annual Memorial Day. And it's supposed to be their the second. Wait. That is their second last pool party at that place.
They're selling their house. So.
Yeah, they're selling the house. They don't know when it's going to be. So whenever they can squeeze in a pool party, they squeeze. It's like Cher.
Yeah.
How many final farewell tours?
Farewell tours does she have? How many can she do before she drops dead? So
yeah, so that's what we pretty much did.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been an exciting weekend for us. Wow,
very interesting weekend. So, So let's move on to topics now.
Okay, it's a hoax.
It's a hoax. I thought the Hulk was dead, but you know you can't kill the Hulk.
You cannot kill the Hulk.
Cannot kill the Hulk.
No, because those gamma rays, those green skin, and you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lou Ferrigno, there's an internet hoax that came out that that Lou Ferrigno died in a car crash
today,
28th. But then of course he did some videos online, and actually last weekend he was here. That's what happens. You travel to San Francisco. I went to New Orleans.
And the Comicpalooza happens.
Comicpalooza happens in Houston. We missed it. We both missed it.
And we missed it every year. Last year it was usually because of Bear Watch.
Yes, because
I was too tired and too broke to afford to go. But.
Yeah, Bear Watch. And I always go to New Orleans whenever it's Memorial Day weekend. So we missed Comicpalooza again. It would be nice, though.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year? Yeah. I have to tell Mike to reschedule our dinner dates.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the article. Lou Ferrigno is dead. At least that's what the internet is saying. However, the Hulk didn't die. He's just a victim of an internet death hoax. So Lou Ferrigno is fine. Reports started swirling that Ferrigno died in an accident. A USA Today link was going around claiming that the actor died in a car accident. However, while USA Today is a real news source, the site that was going around was a fake USA Today site with a report of Ferrigno's death. A note at the bottom of the site read, "This is not associated with the USA Today located at usatoday.com." So no reliable news source. News sources reported on the death of the actor because it didn't happen. The fake USA Today link has since been removed. If that wasn't convincing enough, Lou Ferrigno dispelled the rumors himself by posting a video on Facebook. So he posted his own video saying, "I'm on my way to the bank. It's a great Wednesday, beautiful and sunny. I'm not dead. I'm still alive. Don't believe everything that you hear, what you read. Just want to say I love you so much. Thank you for your concern. Thank you all. I'm going to live a long time, kid." That's what Lou Ferrigno said. So, he's alive.
He's alive. So. And he was here in Houston this weekend.
He was in Houston. Yeah, he was at Comicpalooza, and we missed him. The last time I saw him in person, I shook his hand. I didn't get a picture with him. Was, I don't know, 2002, 2003, I think, when he was promoting the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, with Eric Bana. Remember before Eric Bana was the Hulk before? Yeah, that's pretty bad. I didn't like that one. But yeah, all the way back then, I got to meet Lou Ferrigno, and he did a cameo in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. He was actually coming out from a bank also, I think. So anyway, so that's the last time I saw him in person. Yeah.
So why people want to do these fake death hoaxes, I don't know.
But Maya Angelou died.
Maya Angelou did pass, yes.
Yes.
That is a fact. So.
Yeah, that was a fact. That was yesterday, right?
Yeah, or this morning, or last night, something like that. But it was all over the news this morning. So.
Yeah, okay.
So, okay, on to entertainment. We've got some good stuff here for you today.
I'm excited about this.
Charlie Cox is the new Daredevil. Boardwalk Empire star Charlie Cox is a takeover from Ben Affleck as the Marvel superhero Daredevil in an upcoming series on Netflix. Netflix, people. The actor set to star as Matt Murdock, the blind comic book character with a crime-fighting alter ego, in the streaming service's new action program. Daredevil is one of four Marvel characters who will each receive their own series, including Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones.
Really?
The superhero is portrayed by Affleck, Hollywood's new Batman, in the feature film of the same name in 2003. So, Netflix is getting in on the superhero stuff. And maybe that's good for some of the smaller Marvel characters that to do this stuff online. This online.
That is a surprise for me. I didn't know at first that Netflix is doing this. So,
well, you know, they had good success with Hemlock Grove, which is coming back. Mm-hmm. They had good success with Orange is the New Black and a couple other shows they did. They did Arrested Development.
Yeah, they continued Arrested Development. Yeah.
And now they're going to do some new stuff to get people more interested in watching.
This is a Marvel comic book. It's a Marvel comic book. Yeah. So there's got to be, you know, a hell of a lot of licensing on this one.
Well, I'm sure Disney's behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they own Marvel. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure Disney has something to do with it. So.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited about it. The character itself, Matt Murdock, the Daredevil, I've always been intrigued by what he can do. I didn't collect the comic book too much. I did a few when I was young. So my question is this a, it did say something about Ben Affleck. It's a takeover. It says it is to take over. Does it mean it continues after that, Ben Affleck?
I don't know. We'll have to see. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Daredevil story, like most of the superhero stories, everybody kind of knows it. Mm-hmm. So it seems like it'd be kind of redundant. Maybe the first episode talk about how he got into being the Daredevil and stuff, and then moving forward.
Well, what happened with Ben Affleck, the Ben Affleck one, was it's all flashbacks.
Yeah.
He was already the Daredevil and everything, and it was a flashback back then. So
we'll see. I guess let's wait for Netflix to release it and find out when they're going to
do it. Maybe they'll flashback again. But, you know, remembering back then, the way he got his power is kind of lame. Do you remember?
Well, it was a chemical spill.
It's a chemical spill. That's it. It's a chemical spill. And then he got his powers.
Spider-Man got bit by a radioactive spider.
But it's a spider that is radioactive.
Bruce Banner subjected himself to gamma rays.
Well, yeah, see, that's more drama. This one, he got spilled on by toxic waste.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's it. Well, you have powers.
Look what happened. That's how we got Toxic Avenger.
Is that what we get? Oh, okay. That's right. Anyway. Okay.
If you haven't heard, because the internet community has been collectively shocked over the weekend when it was revealed that director Edgar Wright has parted ways with Marvel Studios and would no longer be directing their big screen adaptation of Ant-Man, which has already been filming.
And they canceled it, right?
No. Film he had been attached to since 2006. In a joint statement, the pair said the split was due to differences in the vision of the film. So apparently Fox come back and said, look, we're going to rewrite these scenes and bring somebody else in it. And the guy that was working with Edgar Wright, they wasn't happy about it. So they said, look, if you're going to do this, we're done because you're changing my movie. Mm-hmm. So he's walked off. So now they got to find somebody to come in and finish it. And I think some of the stuff's been filmed already.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it happens with that. But since Wright's working out, there's another project he's been attached to, Night Stalker, a reboot that he's talking about doing with Johnny Depp, may be his next project.
Oh, okay.
The Marvel brand has been dominating the first half of 2014 with the record-breaking success of Captain America, The Winter Soldier, directly informing and improving the final episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s first season, then Sony's Amazing Spider-Man 2, and Fox's X-Men Days of Future Past, which haven't watched yet, to bring in big numbers, promise of major world building in the Spider-Man X-Men movie universes. As the Marvel studio gears up for the release of director James Gunn's ambitious Guardians of the Galaxy in August, the finally all that is their product assembly line has hit something of a snag with the surprising news of Scott Pilgrim versus the World director Edgar Wright's departure from his long in development Ant-Man film. While the rumor has Wright exiting Ant-Man over Wright's to he and Joe Cornish's script, we have no official word from the director himself aside from a hastily deleted photo, while the initial reactions across the blogosphere have varied, with some calling for Disney to hire him for Star Wars film now that he's off Ant-Man. Wright's next project may actually be one started developing years ago.
You know, I don't remember Ant-Man. What can Ant-Man do?
He shrinks down to ant size.
That's it?
Well, I mean, he's stronger and can change his size, and he can go from being small to super big. And
he's Ant-Man, but he can go big.
Well, he can go big to a certain extent. But I don't think he goes. It's easier for him to go smaller, I think. Okay. So, but I think there have been points where he enlarged himself.
Okay.
So. Following two movies, 1972's The Night Stalker and 1973's The Night Strangler, Kolak, The Night Stalker aired on ABC for a single season in 1974-75. I remember seeing these.
Night Stalker?
Like Night Stalker.
What's it about? I can't remember.
Well, hang on. Starring the late character actor Dean McGavin, who we will ever be forever remembered as the dad from A Christmas Story, the show followed a newspaper reporter, Carl Kolak, who investigated mysterious crimes which often would involve supernatural elements like vampires, zombies, werewolves, and even a delightfully 70s version of a murderous artificial intelligence. We first learned that Edgar Wright was developing a film version a few years ago, and while Depp is still thought to be involved, the last update we had Wright himself saying that while he was still attached to direct, he considered that I think that's still a ways off. It's not even written yet, but it's happening. According to Deadline, though, the project now has a solid script by high-fidelity screenwriter D.V. DeVincidis, and we know Edgar Wright has a sudden opening in his schedule. So what of Depp's availability? The star is coming off a trio box office underperformers and or flops, Dark Shadows, The Lone Ranger, and Transcendence. But the studios have yet to completely lose faith in him. He's currently filming the white Bugler biopic Black Mass, has Alice in Wonderland 2 on deck.
Biopic.
The Black Whitney Mass. Bugler biopic. Yeah, I'll get it right in a little bit. He has Alice in Wonderland 2 on deck, and he may begin filming Pirates of the Caribbean 5 sometime later this year.
What?
In addition to appearing in Disney's fairy tale musical Into the Woods this December.
Pirates of the Caribbean 5?
Oh, no, they need to let that one go.
They need to let it go.
So
Let it go.
So, anyway, there's little doubt that Night Stalker is firmly in both Wright and Depp's wheelhouse, but right now it's really anyone's guess if Wright's next, it will be really be not Wright's next project. The show is created with helping to inspire The X-Files, which is turned as a precursor to some of television's more fantastical offerings such as Fringe, Haven, and Supernatural. Wright could have just been ready-made cultural linchpin if he steps into the Night Stalker next, but we could wait for official details before jumping to conclusions. Okay. Now, Ant-Man is set to star Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas, Evangeline Lilly, Patrick Wilson, and Corey Stoll. Ant-Man follows a biochemist, Dr. Hank Pym, using the latest discovery, a group of subatomic particles, to create a size-altering formula. Through his first self-test goes awry, he develops an instrument that helps him communicate and control insects. Paul Rudd will play Scott Lang, Ant-Man, and Michael Douglas stars as Hank Pym.
You know, Ray, I think you need a size-altering formula.
Slimming.
No, I meant, you know, I need a size-altering formula. Anyway, so yeah, I'm Ant-Man. I don't even remember that. Maybe I've seen.
He's one of the Avengers, and he's always been like a smaller side comic. I can't remember if he had his full on comic at one time, or he's just been a reoccurring thing that happened in the Avengers.
There's also in the Avengers is the Wasp. Who's
Hank Pym's girlfriend?
Ant-Man's girlfriend.
Yeah.
So they both shrink.
Yeah. So.
But one is an ant, one is a wasp. So. Yeah. I think the Wasp is bigger.
She can do some kind of like venom stings, electric bolts or something out of her hand.
But I think the premise to that is that he may be small, but the strength is still as if he was a full person. Yeah. So that's why he's very strong as a wasp. I think that's what she was doing. And I don't know. I can't remember. So yeah, those are entertainment. Interesting. I can't wait. Actually, I'm looking forward. I'm really just looking forward to the Daredevil. Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. Okay, so I'll take the geek. Sorry, the gay. I'll take the gay. And then you take the geek because that's your article.
Okay.
That's interesting. Okay, so in the new documentary, Robert De Niro discusses his gay father. I think we talked about this. Did we talk about this before? That he had a gay father?
I don't think so. Didn't we talk about him in Cruising?
No, that was... Al Pacino.
Oh, Al Pacino. Okay.
It was Al Pacino.
I'm getting confused.
Okay, so Robert De Niro revealed in an upcoming HBO documentary that his father was gay. De Niro says that he knew his father, artist Robert De Niro Sr., was gay when he was a young man after the actor's parents split when he was just 3. To me, he was always a great artist. De Niro, 70, told Out magazine in its June and July issue. Oh, well, last year, I guess, yeah. Yeah, he probably was conflicted about being gay, being from that generation, especially from a small town upstate. I was not aware much of it. I wish he had spoken about it much more. My mother didn't want to talk about things in general, and you're not interested when you're at a certain age. Yeah, there are things that you just don't want to hear, I guess. He said it's his duty to talk about his father's life, not now that he's 70, I guess.
Or De Niro said De Niro, the father's dead.
The father's dead. It's just that he decided to talk about it. Now he's 70. So I felt obligated. It was my responsibility to make a documentary about him. He added, it's actually a documentary about his gay dad. He added, I was always planning on doing it, but never did. So he just needed to get around to it. So Jane Rosenthal, my partner at Tribeca Enterprises, said, we should start doing that now. It was intended to be on HBO. It was just something I wanted to do. He went on to talk about the personal relationship he had with his father, saying that they did not play baseball together, but we had a connection. So if you don't play baseball, you're gay?
Or do you play baseball and you're really gay?
Okay. I wasn't with him a lot because my mother and he were separated and divorced. He was absent in some ways, but he was very loving. He adored me, as I do my kids, De Niro said. So De Niro Sr. died in 1993, but the actor continues to preserve his art studio in Soho, New York. Again, for my kids, I want them to stop and take a moment and realize that you sometimes have to do things now instead of later. Because later may be 20 years from now, and that's too late. Well, you're 70. You should have done this when you were 50. Yeah. Anyway, so the documentary, Remembering the Artist, Robert De Niro Sr. premieres on June 9th on HBO and details the life of the actor's father. Okay.
So that'd be pretty good. It should be interesting. But, I mean, you know, you also got to look. De Niro, when his father died, that was still early 90s. People weren't talking about their parents being gay. And, you know, he was coming up as an actor then, too. I mean, he was still hadn't made it big time, I don't think, by then. It wasn't until after the late 90s that he started really getting these big roles and everything. So
this is him. He knew all along. He knew all along.
Yeah.
And he just started to talk about it. Okay, so let me ask you, Ray, how would you feel if you found out that your dad was gay or is gay?
I'd laugh my ass off.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because he'd be such a hypocrite then. But
you mean he was kind of, you know, anti-gay? He was really anti-gay?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but, I don't know. I think it's one of those things, too, that De Niro says, you know, I had a father. He was gay. I wasn't that much a part of his life, but he was still a good man. He was an artist. Mm-hmm. You know, he did things with his life, and I think people need to know about that because you got to look. People back earlier, before the 80s and 90s, their stories really didn't get told. Occasionally, you know, you get these collections from Frank, what's his name, from
Frank Miller?
No, Frank DeCaro. A lot of good stuff about, you know, gay stars and people back, you know, before the gay rights movement really started getting going. But, you know, most of us don't know about most of those people. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I think it's another look at a man that, you know, he was a gay man in the 50s and 60s and 70s and into the 80s and early 90s before he died. And, like, how did that all change in his lifespan? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Could you imagine that he's going to talk about? But I think, I'm interested in how it goes out. I mean, how it would be. Because being gay, to me, is an attribute. It's not, you don't live because you're gay. You live because of what you do, what you're known of. You're an artist. You're this and that. It just so happened that you're gay. It's not the primary thing that you are into, you know. So, like me, I'm a geek. I love technology and everything. And at the same time, I'm also gay, you know. So, I'm proud that, I'm happy that he's doing it. Robert De Niro is doing it. Well, he's already, I'm sure he's filmed it already. It just needs to go out
now. Oh, yeah, it's coming out on HBO on June 9th. So
yep.
Mm-hmm. It's done.
All right, let's go to the geek, Ray.
All right, the geek. So Google's been buying all these companies the last couple of years. We finally figured out what some of it was for. Mm-hmm. Google's new self-driving car ditches the steering wheel. Google has finally built its own car from scratch, and it looks like a gondola with wheels. The two-seater prototype vehicle is Google's reimagination of what the modern automobile should look and feel like if you took the human out of the transportation equation and designed something solely to chauffeur persons from point to A to B.
It's horrible.
Well, it's kind of cute.
Well, I don't know.
It's got a little winky face on the front of it. I mean, if you don't have to drive a car and you don't have to have this big motor to gun it down the road and all this stuff, basically you got two recliner chairs sitting at a, on four wheels to take somebody somewhere. So
yeah, I guess. But so wow.
So the project is about changing the world for people who are not well served by transportation today. Google co-founder Sergey Brin said at the inaugural Code conference in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. The car, which was conceived and designed by Google, unlike the ones it previously modified, lacks many of the trappings of a normal car, and that includes three of the most essential parts. It has no steering wheel, no accelerator pedal, and no brake pedal. The company that designed the world's simplest homepage also decided to lose the mirrors, the back seat, the glove compartment, and the stereo.
What?
What is left are lots of sensors and transplant of the self-driving software system Google has built to use on the Toyota Priuses and Lexus's SUVs. It has trained to drive on highways and city streets over the past 5 years. It may seem like a silly thing to point out, but even though Google's self-driving car has racked up 700,000 miles of testing, they don't actually drive independently. The company said the cars can handle most situations well when they are loaded with a map of the roads and it's not snowing. But every time they are sent out on the road, they are carefully monitored by two Google employees who are ready to take control at any moment. The new car has no such human safety net. It's entirely driven by computers to head off any concerns of malfunctioning robots hurtling you toward imminent doom. Google has made the car look cute and cuddly from the outset. So it's a cute, cuddly car, but they're not going to say it's not going to kill you.
Because
of the compact, round frame of the prototype with built-in sensor mounts, Google says the car virtually has no blind spots. So basically, it looks almost like a little cramped up bug with the Google camera on top of it, flipping around as it drives through the streets. Now, the thing doesn't fly. It only goes 25
miles an hour?
25 miles an hour. So, and my thing was like, well, you know, this is good. It's a good concept car. It's a good way to get the technology out there and get people used to seeing it. Where could they go for the next thing from this? Imagine big cities that can't put in bus lines or get, you know, move trains. So maybe this is something that, like New Orleans, they could block off certain streets and sections that'll take you down through the French Quarter and over to Jackson Square and here and there, that you can jump in a little robot car and all you do is sit in and say, hey, I want to go to Jackson Square, and this, it takes you down this street that's been blocked off that normal cars can't come, and you know, all you got to do is pedestrians, and it rolls down on a battery pack or gets recharged or
I think it's
and it takes people there, and that way you don't have to walk all that far. And
you know, okay, I like the concept, just that it might as well be around a lot more rounder. I guess we're moving forward. It needs to look this way.
Because this is my dream, to be able to get in a car and not have to drive.
Really?
That way I can do other things like look at this, what's going on, the scenery past me, listen to the radio, watch TV.
Or,
you know,
do something else. Do a nap. Zero mile club. Zero mile high club. Because you're not underground.
With me, it'd be more about taking a nap. But,
oh, really? Yeah, me too. So. Or I could start working. You might be online already. Yeah. When you're there, you sit down and then, okay, take me to work. And then you start working and then you're online already and you're talking to your coworkers online and you're doing your work.
If something like this develops more, maybe in bigger cities where transportation costs are higher and stuff, like San Francisco, not everybody there can afford cars. So you need a car to go to the grocery store and pick up stuff, which they have services like that where you can go rent a car for a couple hours, like zip cars and stuff. But this is provided by the city. You know, you do take your Muni Pass and stick to it. You get an app on your phone, say, hey, meet me here. Car shows up. You get in, take me to the grocery store. You say, hey, I'm going to be here for an hour. The car goes and does something else, and then another car comes and picks you up an hour waiting out front. You get it, and you got a place to put your groceries, go home, unload it, and then you release the car.
How about the human factor? Meaning, if it's being rented by somebody else, how do you know that he's not going to do dastardly things before he leaves?
Well, he can't really do too much. He can't drive it. He can't break it.
No, I mean, like, I don't know, puke on the seats or something.
What do you do when somebody pukes on the bus? Or the subway or stuff like that, what happens?
Well, you have someone to clean it. The driver, probably, or probably maintain it, drive it somewhere. What if
that happens,
and because there's no driver, there's no human.
Well, there's no driver, but I'm sure there's options that says, hey, there's an issue with this car.
Oh, somebody, the previous passenger of these puked on this. Or this car
needs cleaning or something like that.
Needs cleaning, so you won't get to ride anymore.
Well, I mean, if it sucks out, it says, okay, we can have you another one in 30 minutes.
Yeah, I guess. But it's a good idea. I mean, I would. I'm still scared a little of self-driving cars. I still feel like we should be like in the Demolition Man. Remember Demolition
Man? Well, here's the deal. I ride down Katy Freeway every day, and I always see somebody sitting there on the phone texting while they're trying to drive in traffic. The utmost is seeing women sitting there riding with a steering wheel or with a book on it, reading a book while they're driving down the freeway.
Oh, that's horrible. So you've seen people do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, how much unsafe would this be? I mean, we already do stupid shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll even try not to, but I even text when I drive sometimes. Mm-hmm. I usually try to refrain it to when I'm stopped or at a red light or call instead of text.
But like I said earlier, I would be more comfortable with a Demolition Man situation wherein, remember, Sandra Bullock or what's his name? Sylvester Stallone were driving the car. It's self-driving. And then you actually say, okay, go on manual so you can continue.
Well, that might be what develops out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be the next project. Maybe this people won't be comfortable with this for a while.
Yeah. They would rather have the steering.
Or maybe there are certain things that this only works in a city. And when you got an urban environment, you have to go back to driving.
Can you imagine 25 miles an hour just to get from? So you, for you to go to a to your destination.
Well, most days on the freeway, it's 35 miles.
Well, I guess.
So during rush hour, so.
And during rush
hour. I mean, and this is just a prototype. I mean, they're not going to mass produce this. They're looking for somebody to say, hey, I like your technology. We'll buy it from and incorporate it into our cars.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for, so.
That'd be great.
All right, I'll let you do Bizarre since this is your people.
This is my peeps. Well, not my peeps, but, it's my peeps, but I found this very weird. Somebody posted it on Facebook, and I find it disturbing, and it is bizarre, and it's really sad because it's about a directioner. What do I mean directioner? New direction fan, okay? So Filipina directioner, she's a fan, okay? Filipina directioner killed by her father after spending her tuition fee for a One Direction VIP ticket.
Okay, I can say whipping her ass for that, mm-hmm. But I think
killing's that's too bad.
A little bit strong.
That's way too bad. So yesterday, I guess when was this posted? Yeah, anyway, the other day. Her name is Gracelyn, or Grace, was found dead on the floor over bathroom. Grace's little brother was in shock and quickly ran. You could see it's a Filipino writing there.
Yeah.
Shocked and quickly ran to the house of their cousins to call for help. And it's very big in the Philippines, being around your cousins all the time. So the police arrived at the scene around 1:30 p.m.
It took them an hour and a half to get there.
Yes. The Paranaque police also found the victim's father sitting on a corner of the victim's bedroom, holding a knife with his shirt full of blood. The victim's father surrendered to the police while crying, saying that he never meant to kill his own daughter. Okay, I'm gonna say it. Hindi ko po sinasadya. Hindi ko po alam yung ginagawa ko. Yung ginawa ko, he said. It means, I don't know what I was doing. I didn't mean to kill her. Or I didn't mean what I did. Or I didn't know what I did. Anyway, based on the statement that the victim's mother gave, the victim was killed by his father after he finds out that the money he gave her for a school tuition fee, 20,000 pesos.
Which is how much in American?
500 bucks.
Okay.
I don't know. It's $40 pesos to the dollar.
Okay.
So do the math. I don't know. Math is hard. Let's go shopping. So he was only, so he spent 20,000 pesos and he spent it by buying the One Direction VIP ticket. Yung tatay niya kasi, matagal na pinag-ipunan yung perang yon, kasi nga, third year college na siya at malapit na din naman kaya pinupush talaga niya makatapos yung anak namin, said the victim's mother. What do you understand there?
Her father worked really hard for that money because she was on the third year of her college. That's why we were putting so much effort just to make sure she graduated.
That's right. Ray can speak Filipino now.
I can just read the parentheses.
He read the translation. So the victim's father is now under custody of Paranaque police and now charged with murder.
And the guys from One Direction tweeted that they were very sorry about this and that shouldn't happen. And
they're
happy for their $500, but you know.
Yeah, but still, oh my God!
I think the father just lost it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I could see why he did it, but it's just way too much.
I'd have whooped her ass. I'd have beat her ass down. She might not be able to walk for a couple of days, but I wouldn't have killed her. I'd have made her wish she was dead, probably, but.
God. That's really sad, you know. Anyway, so that's the bizarre. It's very disheartening. Sorry, guys. Usually we pick bizarres that are really bizarre, but this one's kind of bizarre, but it's, you know, kind of close to home. Okay, so. What's the plan for this week? We have to watch X-Men.
At some point, yeah. And Maleficent comes out.
Maleficent, yeah.
And doesn't How to Die, A Million Ways to Die in the West, doesn't that come out this weekend too?
Oh, I don't know.
That's the new Seth
movie.
Yeah, I think that comes out this weekend too. So anyway, much to catch up on.
Yeah. I have so much TV to catch up on too. Just been so busy, been traveling, so yeah. Okay, so that's it. So before we go, we're going to do some shout-outs. Thank you, Guy and Carl. And happy birthday, Carl, again.
Shout-out to all the folks I met in San Francisco. Enjoyed meeting y'all. Love seeing you, Miss Ann. I know you want us to the show, but we'll probably get it. I'll post it on Facebook so you can see it. We hooked her up with Facebook while we were there. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You signed up for her?
We signed her up.
And did a selfie with her and then put a post.
Yeah, well, we got it all set up so she can link it to friends so she can see people's posts and everything. So to Allison and Mark, her husband, and Jody and all the other wonderful people I met, and Scott and his mom, and Vicky, who's from Iowa, and the whole crew out there. Very much enjoyed meeting you all. So.
And to all the lesbians who molested Ray.
That's right.
Yes. Shout out.
And the one Asian boy.
What? Really? Oh, my God.
He was a mess.
He was a mess. Hot mess. Okay, yeah. So that's it. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can give us a call at 206-222-2327 and leave us a voicemail. That's 206-222-BEAR. Give us a call, leave us a voice message, and we will play it on the show, believe it or not.
Yeah, we haven't had a phone call for a long time. And subscribe by iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. You can listen to the show on Bear Radio Network, on Stitcher Radio, and on the Roku Player. You can also watch the videos there. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. We'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.